Since the issue has become so controversial, I think it necessary to point out that there is not a blanket ban which singles out only the keffiyeh for those who wish to wear it and enter the legislative precinct. It has been our standard practice, again for many decades, to ask those who seek to enter the assembly not to wear any attire which appears to be intended to make a political statement of any sort.
That's the speaker at Queen's Park yesterday, Ted Arnott. Now, he's a conservative MPP. That's how that works. Doesn't have to be. The speaker doesn't have to be from the ruling party of the land. There were speakers that weren't from the federal Liberal Party applying to be speaker, at least putting their name in the hat to be considered for it before Greg Fergus became the latest speaker after what transpired and the real mess with Anthony Rota in the federal House of Parliament and the House of Commons in the fall. But he makes that statement right there and says, hey, listen, not singling this out. You can't put a Ukrainian scarf around your neck. You can't, even if you are of heritage. Listen, Saul Mamako has been on our show many times. He can't come in wearing a traditional indigenous clothing or make any kind of statement via the clothing. Is that antiquated? Maybe so, but that's for another day. And I'll buy the notion that there are many people that see the keffiyeh as purely political and not cultural right now. But that's all up for debate. The question is, should such a deal have been made about it in the first place? Joining us right now on the show, we haven't had him on for a while, so we're excited to visit with Liberal MPP for Don Valley East. He is Dr. Adil Shamji. It's great to have you on. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you, Greg. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, I am. You put a statement out yesterday, and I'm sure, again, I think you're choosing your words carefully here, but I also think it's got this level of sensitivity that careful words are needed. I mentioned I didn't love some of the premier's words yesterday, given many of the people even at this U of T encampment are born here, raised here, professors here, assistant professors here. And I'll get to that in a second, but you are of the belief that the keffiyeh should be allowed in Queen's Park. Did you wrestle with that decision, or was that just instantaneously something you felt in your heart?
So it's something that came pretty quickly. I mean, from my perspective, and I will share that this is also a perspective shared by every leader of all four major parties in Ontario, the keffiyeh is a longstanding cultural symbol for people of not just Palestinian descent, but Arab and Muslim backgrounds as well. And we have, as Canadians and Ontarians, a rich history of celebrating and embracing different cultures. And so when the judgment came out by Ted Arnott a few weeks ago saying that it would be banned from the precinct and from the legislature, it caught many of us by surprise. And it was consequently every leader, literally within hours, had put out statements saying that they felt as though that ban should be reversed.
Yeah, I think the scarf's representing two things right now. And let's just even label it in Ontario, in Toronto. I think it represents a solidarity with the Palestinian people for some. I think there are certainly people in the Jewish community when it's, you know, depending on one's actions with people wearing the keffiyeh in the street, some people feel it's a threatening symbol. Have you heard that from constituents, or are you aware that that's how Jewish people feel about it sometimes?
So I, of course, I'm absolutely aware and have heard that perspective. And then, you know, a trauma-informed perspective certainly makes me very sympathetic to that, of course. I also hear from the other side, from many marginalized and vulnerable groups that have seen such symbols taken away from them and the consequence that it has had on them, the emotional impact that it has had on them. And so I find this to be a very difficult issue to distill down to something that is black or white. And certainly with everything that is going on around the world, in the Middle East, with encampments at universities across our country and across North America, we, you know, and my statement tries to capture this, we have to be sensitive to the fact that every single decision impact in many different ways so many different groups. And to take away the keffiyeh may make one community feel better and another community feel a lot worse.
Dr. Adil Shamji, our guest on Toronto Today. What I've been pleased at, let's say since October 7th, is that I look and I haven't seen quite the grandstanding and quite the vitriol that I've often seen in the federal House of Commons. I actually think attacks have been personal attacks at Queen's Park have been few and far between. It's been about policy. It's been about moving the province forward. I'm sure you know how much you care about this province. I'm sure you don't want to get stuck on this issue, and you want to get this done and dusted as quickly as possible, because there's important things happening in the province that are pretty important, not just to me, to you, but to a lot of people listening and a lot of people that will vote next election.
I'm keenly aware of the fact that we have a housing crisis, a healthcare crisis, an affordability crisis. And these are the things I and all of us desperately want to turn our attention to. And, you know, as our parliamentary leader, John Fraser, has said very clearly, there's a very easy way for us to, you know, get this matter, as you said, done and dusted. Doug Ford can simply call for a vote. He doesn't have to whip the vote. Everyone can vote exactly as they please. And we can, you know, we can have the vote, see where it goes, and then move on from there. I think it's actually a very simple solution. The premier has the ability to do it, and we're just waiting on him to actually make that happen.
Are you seeing this as a sign of a divided conservative government? Since you've gotten in as an MPP, they've been pretty steady on certain issues, and they've actually made people accountable and booted them out of caucus when it seems they're not all marching to the same drum. Are you seeing a bit of a divided government here?
You know, my understanding from what I'm hearing is certainly there is a lot of division in that caucus. And I think the premier and his house leader are sort of struggling to keep that together. But again, that is why I think it's simply so important to call for a free vote and let every member vote exactly as they please. And then the judgment and will of the house can prevail. You know, the one thing that I will say is I have immense respect for our speaker, Ted Arnett, and his judgment. That being said, all four leaders sort of have called for this to be reversed. But the ban on the kafia in the legislature is actually unique amongst legislatures. We are one of the few, if not the only one that I'm aware of, that has actually implemented that ban. And so I think it's incumbent on us, given that uniqueness, to just offer the vote and allow us to, as you said, get this done and dusted and focus on the things that really are mattering to people: housing, healthcare, affordability, and so many others.
I know you mentioned the encampment. I want to give you a listen to what Doug Ford said yesterday, but for people who haven't heard it yet, and then you let me know how you hope this goes in the next week or so. Here's the premier yesterday.
Everyone's allowed to protest peacefully, and that's what I mean, peacefully. The hatred I have seen on these protests, I've never seen before in my entire 60 years, not quite 59 years, of living here in Toronto. We're here. You want to be here in Ontario? You live in peace and love. That's what we encourage all the time, is making sure we respect every single culture, no matter where you're from.
Okay. Where do you hope this goes, and where does the Liberal Party hope this goes? We're walking a tricky balancing act here. Between allowing people to gather, allowing people to protest, encouraging advocacy, and in essence, to me, Jewish people on the University of Toronto campus and in our city not feeling welcome, not feeling safe, not enjoying genocidal chants. We're walking a very fine line here where it gets dangerous.
Yeah, Greg, I think you've actually captured the issue very, very well. I mean, Rotarians and Canadians, we embrace the right to freedom of expression, the right to peaceful demonstration. But, you know, the emphasis is on peaceful. And so, you know, if we start to see demonstrations that are moving into hatred and violence, then those are things that need to be addressed. But first, you know, we have to strike that balance and protect both those things. And certainly, if we're seeing those demonstrations that are moving into violence, hate speech, then, you know, the campuses have their harassment, the universities have their harassment policies. They should be implementing that, engaging with police and that kind of thing. But the one thing that I really want to flag is there are some, there are elements to what the premier said that, you know, of course, you know, I understand and agree with. We're seeing unprecedented hatred in all of its forms: Islamophobia, anti-Semitism. He captures that, and I appreciate that, and I have seen that as well. What worries me, and what I think is actually maybe potentially contributing to some of that hatred, is towards the end of his remarks, those divisive things implying that, you know, there are people coming from abroad and they implying that they need to assimilate. That kind of polarizing and divisive language is exactly what breeds the hatred that we are not happy to see right now.
Yeah, I didn't love it, and it's worth calling out because many of the people who are being maybe the loudest and most boisterous and maybe crossing those lines, Adil, are Ontarians, and they should be held in context. That should be held in context and in check for exactly that reason. I got a blast, but I appreciate you getting up early for us. Thanks very much.
I always will. Thank you, Greg.
Dr. Adil Shamji joining us, MPP for the Liberal Party for Don Valley East.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.